In music, credit isn't always given where credit is due. Artists borrow styles and sounds and make them their own. One panel at last week's South by Southwest Music Festival tackled that issue by exploring a range of British music, songs that all found their roots in a single source, Jamaican music. Boz Dreisinger traces that musical genealogy.
You could hear it on mainstream radio in 1978, courtesy of The Police.
Roxanne, you don't have to put on the red light.
And you can hear it on British airwaves today in the music of Birmingham-born MC Lady Lashur.
When they see me coming, they know that I let go. I'm on another level. I'm a freaking rebel. So turn up the bass and don't forget to raise the treble.
It's reggae's influence on British music, something lately known as bass culture. Producer and DJ Ross Kwame, who's worked on BBC Radio for over a decade, sums it up.
As long as there's been reggae, more or less there's been reggae in the UK, and that influence played a massive role.
As massive a role as R&B and blues played in Britain a half century ago. Michael Riley sings lead for UK reggae band Steel Pulse.
We look at the impact of it. We look at how it's changed production. We look at the story of the remix and remix culture. We look at rave culture and the relationship to sound systems. We look at current youth and what they use as a key reference when making popular music in the UK. And we'll see that the resident black community has a major contribution that has never been fully recognised.
The contribution began in the 1950s when Jamaican immigration to the UK spiked. By the early 60s, British sound systems flourished and British ska music topped the Billboard charts.
My boy, lollipop, you made my heart go giddy up. You are as sweet as candy. You're my sugar dandy.
West Indian immigrants to America could be absorbed into existing African-American communities. But in Britain, where there was no real black community to speak of, Caribbean people found themselves isolated. Michael Riley says that reggae became a potent way of dealing with that alienation.
Disenfranchised working class youth identified through this music, which was rebellious, it was anti-state, anti-government, it was very politically charged and it was very militant. So the black youth were very motivated and socially aware at the time. And all this came through reggae because it was not present in the schools, it was not present on television, it was not present in the books, it was not present on radio.
It was a hard task to take on, to make us all believe the conflict time, rescue us from evil claws. They wanted to achieve a bench to gain respect, defend ourselves to the end.
In the 70s, reggae exploded in the UK. Bob Marley lived in London, Eric Clapton and the Rolling Stones recorded reggae songs, and a soulful British genre known as Lover's Rock was born. But when UK reggae bands like Steel Pulse and Aswad hit the scene, they struggled to be accepted by black audiences who deemed them less authentic than Jamaican-born acts. Instead, these new bands found an unlikely fan base, punks.
We didn't care what they looked like. As long as they identified with the music at the time, it meant that we had a chance to grow. We had support.
But it was a strange kind of support.
We'd be on the way to the gig, and we'd see members of our what I'd call our core audience, these are punks, walking down the road with a bunch of skinheads, kind of fascists. We'd see them later and they'd go, yeah, Mike, if you see us in that crowd, you know, don't acknowledge us. And basically what they were saying was, look, we like the music, and when we're on the street, we're on the street. So there's a level of duality within our audience.
Punks ended up taking reggae into the mainstream. The Clash famously recorded a cover of Junior Mervyn's Police and Thieves.
Police and thieves in the street.
By the 80s, though, UK reggae suddenly had a white face. Labels opted to sign bands like The Police, Culture Club, and Madness over black British bands. And just as in America, where R&B turned to rock and roll as its performers grew whiter, these blue-eyed reggae bands in the UK, says Riley, were suddenly reclassified.
One of the things that happens in the UK with what we might call independent or underground music is that the point at which it's recognized as crossing over or becoming commercial or it starts to enter the popular charts is it's rebranded. And in that rebranding, there is generally a disconnect with the source or the origins. With regards to reggae, we find that the instance it's popular in the UK and it enters the charts, it's normally called pop.
During the 90s, reggae influenced a younger generation of British artists coming out of the rave scene.
Batman, 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 Batman.
Jungle music was essentially rave music with Jamaican dancehall style vocals. The musical hybrids kept coming, all influenced to one extent or another by Jamaican style bass. UK garage, drum and bass, dubstep. Now there's a new mashup dubbed Electro Bashy. Which one on a count sit pan up? Now just bounce pan the rhythm right there. Free bump chicks, Asian white there. Why go on busy, come and go scoop fair. Me wanna know which one on a one do the bojo. Bigger top, gyal in the body, right skin tight suit. Bring out of that bounce like Cadillac. Who wine better than that? Producer Ross Kwame says the UK music scene generates innovative hybrids because it's less confined by genre than the US.
Being a smaller place, we don't have this big 52-state view of what we're doing. Artists and musicians are just doing it in their neighbourhood, and we have means and systems of getting out here, i.e. the pirate station network, of getting these new forms heard. And because we're coming from a culture where radio in the main has not been really receptive to black music or new forms of black music, we've had to find our own ways and our own means of doing things. And that's just led to the creativity being really at street level.
That creativity is bass culture in a nutshell, creating new music from old school roots. For NPR News, I'm Boz Dreisinger. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.